frame.
I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And I trust that all feel well. You were already welcomed, and I believe God will speak to our hearts, give divine revelation, divine understanding of His Word, even of the message of the hour. It is so important to have the direct revelation by the Holy Spirit that we all see alike. And if we're in the same spirit the prophets were, the apostles were, Brother Branham was, we understand what they understood. We see what they saw. The same Holy Spirit gives the same divine revelation to each and every one.
Amen.
There are no more personal opinions or deviations or explanations within the bride, but the true Word of God, just the original Word of God, which is the original saint. Brother Branham preached a whole sermon about this subject, the Word of God, the original saint. So friends, today you will not hear any interpretation. In fact, there's something within me just rejecting every interpretation. I'm just ready to believe God's original word. Not a single interpretation of the message of the hour did I believe up to this moment. You have to make your decision whether you're going to believe the original Word of God. And if you are a true child of God, you will believe the original Word of God.
Amen.
This country has precious memories for me. It was in 1978 when Brother Sidney Jackson, my old friend, he was also one of Brother Branham's friends, when we had meetings in all the different cities in your country, it was in Pretoria when he stepped to the platform and said, Brother Frank, I believe you are an apostle. You are carrying the message God gave to Brother Branham. And friends, I think it was this Brother Sidney Jackson, my old friend, who reminded me on what Brother Branham had seen in June 1955 in Switzerland, when Brother Branham was ministering in Zurich, Switzerland. He saw a vision. He saw the German eagle flying through Africa. And it was Sidney Jackson, your brother, who reminded me on what Brother Branham had seen in Zurich, Switzerland in June 1955. Then, of course, in August 1955, I met Brother Branham for the first time. And friends, I saw Bible days with my eyes. I saw the same ministry our Lord had as Son of Man repeat before my eyes. I saw the things which are recorded in the four Gospels to take place. I saw the people born blind receive their sight in one moment. I saw people brought in on the stretcher, healed in one moment, taking their bed and walking out. I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness of what God has done through the ministry of Brother Branham. To my understanding of the scripture, which is the true revelation of God's word, William Branham was not only a prophet, he was a promised prophet. Malachi chapter 4 very, very plainly tells us, and God himself said, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So before the second coming of Christ would be, before sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood, before the stars fall from heaven and the whole earth is going to be purified by fire, as the Apostle Peter has written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. All the elements will melt in fervent heat. But before that day, that terrible day would be, the Lord God himself made the promise. This is not Malachi speaking. This is God speaking through Malachi. I, the Lord God, will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So we do believe according to the scripture. And there was only one man in our time who had a direct divine call and commission. And I'm in the kingdom of God since 1949, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and came to be acquainted with the revival God had started through Brother Branham since May 1946. I just love to hear Brother Branham's testimony when he speaks about the angel of the Lord coming down into his room. He says, I was sitting there having my Bible on my lap, and it was about 11 p.m. when suddenly this supernatural light came into the room, and the angel of the Lord stepped down in that light, touching with his feet the ground. And Brother Branham stood up. Of course, he was shaken because it was a surprise to him. But the angel sent from God said, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to give you your commission. And the angel explained to Brother Branham what type of ministry would now take place. And it would be the last sign to the Gentile church before the return of Christ. Then the angel said, as Moses was given two signs are given to you. One sign will be that you take the hand of the patient into your left hand. The patient's left hand, which comes from the heart, and Brother Branham's left hand. And the angel said, you turn your hand up like this, and the tumor or the cancer the person has that you are going to pray for will appear on your hand. And brothers and sisters, in 1946, 47, 48, this special gift was in operation. And the two witnesses I spoke to was Brother Gordon Lindsay and Sister Lindsay. You know, Brother Gordon Lindsay wrote the book, William Branham, A Man Sent from God. And especially Sister Lindsay, she told me in very plain words, in those days, ladies had long skirts and they were permitted to even go on the platform. And she said, we were just looking at Brother Branham's hand. We saw it when the cancer or the tumor that person had appeared on his hand. And the angel said, the person that Brother Branham would pray for should not close their eyes. They should leave their eyes open to watch when it happened. And the moment the person was healed, that tumor vanished from Brother Branham's hand. The people were just crying, just shouting and praising God. It was an instant miracle. And then the second gift was that the very thoughts of the heart would be revealed to Brother Branham, as it was done in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved friends, having had this great opportunity, a privilege given to a few, even in our time, I'm just so grateful to know the Lord, to know His promised word, to know the ministry He sent for our time, for the greatest purpose in the history of mankind. The last message is to call the bride out, to restore the bride, to prepare the bride for the return of the bridegroom. Of course, many brothers have come up with their own interpretations, and it makes me very, very sad to even think about it. It happened in your country, not far away from the Johannesburg airport, when a dear brother looked at me as we had a cup of tea together, and he said, Brother Frank, you don't preach the message of the hour. And I answered, beloved brother, that's all I have done in the past 40 years. And he said, no, because the message of the hour is the seven thunders. And so I was just shocked. I was shocked. I said, what? Well, he said the seven thunders is the message of the hour. And then my question was, please tell me what the seven thunders are. His answer was, they are a revelation. Then I asked him, what is that revelation? And he answered, it's a mystery. To make that sad story short, I just left the cup of tea and I told my other brother to take me back to the airport. Beloved brothers and sisters, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't believe any interpretation. Just believe the word of God in its original form. All the interpretations have caused so many splits The body of Christ is torn to pieces. So many groups here and there, not having fellowship with one another, and still thinking to be sitting there at the table with the Lord, and here on earth, not even talking to one another. No, beloved friends, something must happen to the inside of the inside. We must be in contact with God in our soul. And we believe in the full word of God. And we believe that William Branham revealed all the mysteries from Genesis to Revelation. He was, as I said, not only a prophet, he was a promised prophet. But the word of God, not any interpretation, but the original word of God comes to the prophet. And this prophet said, God is his own interpreter. First, he makes a promise, and when the time comes, God fulfills the promise. And every promise God made in his word is connected to reality. I say this the word over. The first coming of the Lord was a reality. Like when the prophet Micah in chapter 5 said that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, that is where he was born. And you can go through all the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament and then come to know that over 100 of those prophecies and promises were fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Everything happened according to the word of God, even the resurrection of our Lord. Psalms 16, verse 10 and 11. Thou should not leave my soul in hell, nor my body to see corruption. So our Lord rose on the third day, and his resurrection is a guarantee for our resurrection. His going to heaven is a guarantee for our going to heaven. All the things the Savior has done happened for the saved. So we do have a direct part in the plan of salvation at this time. And friends, I want you to know, I didn't jump into something just all of a sudden. I was acquainted with the ministry God gave in our time. I knew Brother Branham for 10 years. I drove with him in the same car, ate with him at the same table, was in his meetings in Germany and in his meetings in the USA. Since 1958, September 1958, every sermon Brother Branham preached in the USA was sent to me in Germany. So I grew through all these years under the ministry of Brother Branham. When he spoke on the 70 weeks of Daniel, or on the seven church ages, and just before the opening of the seals, I was together with Brother Branham, and he said he's going to move to Tucson because of a vision the Lord had shown to him of the appearing of the supernatural cloud in which seven angels were present. I was together with Brother Branham. I preached in the tabernacle in Jeffersonville while Brother Branham was still alive. So I'm not somebody who jumped into something maybe too late. No, I was part of that ministry while Brother Branham was alive, and am part of that ministry while he is in glory. And this also goes precisely with what Brother Branham was said and told on June the 11th, 1933, at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon, when he was about to baptize the 17th person. He prayed, "O God, as I baptize in water, will you baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire?" And just then he heard a voice calling, "Look up." And the second time, even stronger, "Look up." And when he looked up, there was this supernatural light that we all know. You all know this picture. I think everyone is acquainted with this supernatural light, which was the same pillar of fire which led the children of Israel 40 years, showing unto them the way that they should be walking on. Brother Branham many times referred to it. And friends, I said it yesterday, but I, Brother Frank, made a trip to Washington, D.C., because Brother Branham had said this picture hangs in Washington, D.C. So as my mentality goes, not because I did not believe, but I wanted to see that picture. So on that Friday afternoon, morning, about 11:15, I was in Washington in the Hall of Art holding this picture, which hang there in the Hall of Art. So we do have documents. We have documents of these supernatural things which happened in our time. And friends, one of the most important was this. You all know this picture. When Brother Branham saw the supernatural cloud, and it happened on February the 28th, 1963. On December the 22nd, 62, Brother Branham had the vision that the supernatural cloud would appear, and then it did appear on February the 28th, 1963. And friends, here is the article in Science Magazine. Here is the article in Life Magazine. I brought these things with me from the USA as documents, because like this professor at the University of Tucson, Dr. James McDonald, writing about the cloud that was 26 kilometers above the earth, where no moisture would be to form a cloud. But there, Brother Branham was told that the seven seals would be opened. Just for your information, if brothers speak about the thunders, let me say this in love, just in love, not to criticize, but just in love. When Brother Branham was on the mountain, on the Sunset Mountain in Arizona, as he saw in the vision, he would bend down to take a cockleburr from his trousers. And that moment, seven mighty thunderclaps appeared. And when Brother Branham looked up, he saw this supernatural appearing of the cloud. And there he was told that the seven seals would be opened. Many times Brother Branham refers to these seven thunders. He even knocks 7 times on the pulpit and says his thunders were so mighty. This rapturing phrase in the thunders, and. And the brothers don't know the connection in which he does refer to the 7 thunders. And then they go to Revelation chapter 10, makes the whole thing up because he don't have a call of God to the ministry. And this is, beloved, very, very important. Now coming to a few things in the precious word of God. I believe that William Branham carried the message which foreruns the second coming of Christ. And I was there. I don't want to repeat the whole story, but I was there at the funeral. I was there when the coffin was lowered into the ground. To me, the whole world had collapsed. But on the evening of the same day, April the 11th, 1966, the Lord reminded me on the call he gave me on April the 2nd, 62, just at sunrise. Now your time has come to give out the food that was put in store. And I was reminded what Brother Branham told me on December the 3rd, 1962, in the presence of Fred Softman and in the presence of Banks Woods. He said, Brother Frank, the food you're to put in store is the promised word of God for this day. And he continued to say, and it is in the sermons which are being taped. And finally he said, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food. After Brother Branham was taken to be with the Lord, had preached his last sermon on December the 12th, 1965. The moment came when I knew in my heart, now the whole message, the full word of God, all the spiritual food we need is put in store. And now the sharing of that precious word and message takes place right to the ends of the earth. So my ministry, by God's providence, is connected directly to Brother Branham's ministry by divine appointment. It was not my wish or my decision. It was God himself who arranged it in such a way. Now, in John chapter 14, we are told that our Lord went to glory to prepare the place. But that's only one part, his part. The part of the bridegroom is to prepare the place for the bride. Amen. But then our part is to prepare ourselves. Amen. To be ready for his return so that he can take us into the heavenly mansions, into the place he prepared. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Are we perfect? If we're in the Word of God, we're not perfect in ourselves. Oh, we are perfect in the perfect Christ, in the perfect revelation of the Word of God. We speak wisdom to them that are perfect. Not the wisdom of this age. Of course not. And then verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden things which God ordained before, which God ordained before the ages began, to our glory. And now verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 25 is well known to everybody. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then in verse 10 we read, they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. My beloved brothers and sisters, I say this also all over the earth. We are not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. It's just the grace of God that the door has not yet been shut. And if you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, God is not slack with his promise, but he doesn't want anybody to be lost, but that the last ones would come to repentance, come into the kingdom of God. And when the number is full, then the door closes. So we understand from the scriptures the purpose of the message of the hour. First of all, to correct all things, to restore all things, to put all things into the divine order they were at the beginning. Let me read to you from both the Old and the New Testament. First, a scripture of Psalms 22, so that you might know, Psalms 22, that only the seed of God, the true children of God, will have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And only the true children of God will not serve a religious system. They will serve the Lord. They will not believe an interpretation. They will believe the original Word of God. Psalms 22, verse 30. And his seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. A seed shall serve him. We're not slaves of a denomination. We serve the Lord our God. Going to the prophet Isaiah, which this word speaks very plainly about restoration. Just a few verses from the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thee thy hand, and I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the nations. And then in verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring back, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know, our Lord always spoke in parables, but anybody understands this scripture. If you look into all the denominations, into all the religions, they are prison houses. And the pastors are like the guides in the prison. They just take care that nobody would escape. But when the message of God is being preached, it's a day of salvation.
Amen.
It's the hour to come out.
Amen.
From all prison.
Amen.
And to worship the Lord God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So the Lord did not only come to redeem us, he came to open our blind eyes.
Amen.
He came to deliver us from every prison and to make us totally free.
Amen.
Let us read verse 22 in Isaiah chapter 42. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are of them, they are all snared in holes, and they are hidden in prisons, in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none says, restore. This is the general situation, the spiritual situation at this time. And if we say today that all of humanity has been deceived, in every religion existing on the face of the earth, people were misled, they were deceived. And if you go into so-called Christianity, the first 200 years went so and so, but then the heathens came into Christianity. Those so-called church fathers, they were bringing in their ideas from hedonism about Trinity and about the various things which they had believed in Greek philosophy. They brought them in to the church, and the first council of Nicaea, 325, they adopted a Trinity. How can anybody believe that God exists in three individual persons? Three eternal, three almighty, three all-present. It's incredible. It's impossible. God is one God, not three. But this one God revealed himself as our Father in heaven. He manifested himself in his only begotten Son on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And our Lord could say in John chapter 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And the same God lives in us by the Holy Spirit. God above us, with us, in us, to accomplish his own plan of salvation. That's why the manifestation of God our Father was in Jesus Christ, the Son, to place us back into our original position in Christ as sons and daughters of God, where we should have remained and be right from the very beginning. So the time has come to restore us back to the teachings and practices which came forth from Jerusalem. There are only two places on earth where the word has come forth from. One where the word came forth, and one where the interpretations came forth. And if I say this, don't think I'm too critical, but in the state church of Rome, which came into existence especially since the year 440 after Christ, when the first pope was elected and the state church was formed, everyone was forced into this state religion. Then they came up with all the different teachings, as we already said, about Trinity and triune baptism, which is not a single time recorded in the Bible. There's not a single time in all of God's word where only one thing would have happened in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not a single one. And I say it again. Not a single one. Matthew 28 was misunderstood, misinterpreted. Our Lord very plainly said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name singular. Not like the baptisms take place in the state churches. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. That's not even in the Bible. The Bible says baptizing them one time into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One God manifesting himself in various ways. With one name you shall call his name, Jesus. Amen. For he shall save his people. Amen. From their sins. Amen. And you go to John chapter 17, where three times our Lord makes reference to the name. So all of you, beloved brothers and sisters, who have not yet been baptized scripturally in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this by the authority of God's holy word. And please, don't go from here making this statement, Brother Frank said. Brother Frank has got nothing to say. Brother Frank just says what God already said in his word. And dear preachers, the last baptism must be as the first was. The last sermon must be as the first was. The last Lord's Supper must be as the first was. All things must be restored to where they were at the very beginning. So we hear the Apostle Peter speaking and preaching in Acts chapter 2. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter had the keys of the kingdom. He was the first man to preach the first sermon under the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church the Lord had purchased by his blood came into existence and was established. So we understand from the word of God, when William Branham had to make the statement which shocked me when I heard it for the first time in 1964, and it might shock you here today, but sometimes we need a shock treatment to wake up. Amen. When Brother Branham made the statement, every person baptized in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. I was shocked. I was shocked. I put the switch down on that tape machine. And you know, in 1964, I wanted to argue with the Lord. Can you imagine? I'm just a man like you. Yeah, I just had to go through this spiritual battle as you have to go. And you know what I did? I said, "Dear Lord, but I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have received the blessings. And what's wrong with my baptism?" I was baptized in 1948 in a Baptist church. And I was then baptized in 49 with the Holy Spirit. And so I said, "Dear Lord, what did this man of God say? That I was baptized into the Catholic Church?" I said, "I was baptized in the Baptist Church." You understand? The argument was there. I'm just like you. I'm not different. I'm just like you. I had to go from clarity to clarity, from light to light, as I heard the things in the message of the hour. And then, of course, I switched the tape on again. And I heard it for the second time. And then I switched it off and I knelt down and I said, "Dear Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart." Amen. And to give divine revelation unto me. Friends, we need to take off our shoes. The moment God speaks to us, we stand on holy ground. And we have to understand this. It was not William Branham speaking to us. It was God speaking to us by the lips of his prophet William Branham to bring us back to the Word of God. Amen. And to set all things in order. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that I should, that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore." Remember the word restore. "And to restore the tribes and the people of Israel. I will also give thee to be a light for the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation to the ends of the earth." We're living in the times of restoring of all things. The main promise is in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Please listen to what is written here. Isaiah 58, verse 12. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in." A message of restoration. Restoring back to where things were at the beginning. William Branham had a restored apostolic, prophetic ministry. And we who believe the message of the hour must expect the full restoration in the body of Christ, in outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There were two songs dealing with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For these two songs, you can read Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour out water upon that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offsprings." Here you've got the word seeds again. If you come with me to the prophets in the Old Testament, Zechariah 10 speaks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just before the return of Christ would be. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, "Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers." Amen. Give them showers. Hallelujah. Of rain. Amen. To every grass and to all the field. With this, you come to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Here we have the direct promise in reference to the return of Christ. James chapter 5, verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." My beloved brothers and sisters, let us summarize what we have to say in the name of the Lord. Now, before the second coming of Christ, and friends, you have to have the fear of God in you, and the fear towards the Word of God, the divine respect towards the Word of God. Then the Lord will speak to you. You must read Matthew 24 to know what should happen before the Lord returns. You must read Mark chapter 13. You must read Luke 21 to have the precise understanding of what would take place on earth among the nations, and whatever has to take place before Christ returns. It's all described in the Word of God, especially our Lord, as I said, in these three chapters. And three times he made the statement, "When you see all these things come to pass, then you know it is near. It's even at the door." And then he says in Luke 21 from verse 29, "When you see all these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." And then our Lord makes a statement, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled." Amen. And then even emphasizes and says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." This statement was made in connection with the gathering of Israel, when our Lord said, "When you see the fig tree coming back to life again," you have to go to the Old Testament to know that God called Israel the fig tree in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. In the New Testament, he used the same symbol of his people Israel, our Lord spoke all he did in parables. And in every parable, something was hid. This is how God does things. He reveals and he hides. He hides and reveals. To them that are elected from before the foundation of the world, to them our Lord speaks and says, to you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, remember, when Brother Branham used Revelation 10, verse 7, he used that scripture, which is absolute in the singular. He used it in the plural. And why did he use that scripture in the plural? Because he was the seventh church age messenger through whose ministry all the mysteries hid in the Word of God from the Garden of Eden, right from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, would be revealed. But Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, remains valid in the singular. A prophetic scripture can have a twofold application. Many such scriptures are in the Holy Bible. So we have to understand, when the last trumpet angel will sound the trumpet, and friends, I say this in love, if you have the Hebrew New Testament in your home, the Bible uses the same word shofar. Shofar. You know, the horn that they blow in Israel when the sun sets. The shofar. And if you read Revelation chapter 8 and 7, shofars were given to the seven angels who were to blow their shofars. Our Bible says trumpet. The Hebrew says shofar. And the same word shofar, which is found in Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9, is the same word shofar in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. And is the same word shofar in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. Same word shofar. So we understand from the Word of God the connection. But coming back to what we're trying to say here today, God has sent a message. And if I say this now, I want you to understand it correctly. Since Brother Branham was taken to be with the Lord, all the details were revealed unto us. Brothers and sisters, there has never been a time when the Holy Spirit was leading us into the Word of God in such a marvelous way. Did you know what I did in 1982, it was just upon my heart to make a trip to the Isle of Patmos, to spend a few days on the Isle of Patmos. And I took a boat from Athens, from the harbor Piraeus, moving up all through the sea, right up to the Isle of Patmos. And friends, on the Isle of Patmos, I wept and I prayed and I read the 22 chapters of Revelation. I read them once and I read them again and again. And I said, "Dear Lord, your servant John is no more here. Your servant William Branham is no more here. But you are here. You are here." And I said, "Dear Lord, grant unto me the same full revelation you granted to John when he was here. You granted to William Branham when you showed him the mysteries of your kingdom. And I said, dear Lord, just show them to me. And I tell you, something wonderful happened. It was just glorious. When then I read the 22 chapters again, I stopped and stopped and stopped. And I tell you, I'd never had so much time needed to read the 22 chapters again as then. And the divine light, the connections that I saw in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, it was just absolutely marvelous. Amen. And friends, because of the divine call, I cannot come and tell you a story. I cannot come and give you a certain interpretation, like some friends believe Jesus Christ has already come. Amen. That is a lie. That is a lie. When he comes, I go. Amen. As long as I'm here, he has not yet come. Because if he comes, I go. Yeah, I go. And you go. Unless you're left behind. The scripture says, there are two on one bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Have you ever heard about one being taken, one will be left? No, no, it has not yet happened, but it will happen. So when, especially one brother, who is about 5 years older than I, when he said, Brother Frank, we're all raptured, we are in glory, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you were left behind. I said, what did you say, brother? He was in Virginia, and he said, well, you're left behind. I said, dear brother, what are you talking about? Well, he said, the rapture is a revelation. I said, what? Rapture? Revelation? I said, rapture will be a reality. A reality. I don't want to go again into these details, but brothers, there's something wrong with the head of some people. Every word of God makes sense even to your head. Not a single word of God is contrary to your understanding. But you need to have the Holy Spirit to understand it in the right way. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Just very quickly, before we end, let me read to you about the return of Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. There is an order, a divine order, and every man in his order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Amen. They that are Christ's at his coming. Amen. And then you can continue to read when the rest will come up in the second resurrection. Now reading in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43. It is sown in disorder, it is raised in glory. Amen. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, and it is raised the spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Say amen. 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 And then verse 45, and as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. However, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Listen to this. The first man is of the earth, is earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Is the Lord from heaven. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And then, of course, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we all shall be changed. Even we who remain and are alive at the return of Christ, we shall be changed. Mortality will take on immortality. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. And beloved, up till now, nobody has been changed. Even those who preach parousia, even sometimes are not changed in their hearts. The inside is many times not yet changed. And friends, here is the very, very important part. Before the outside can be changed at the return of Christ, the inside must be changed now. Now, something must happen in our soul. William Branham, the man of God in our time, he spoke about three circles. The outer circle, you see, you smell, you hear. The inner circle, you have conscience and so forth. But then the soul, the soul, the soul. The soul that sinners shall die. If you don't believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And you read in Isaiah 53 verse 10, when he will give his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he shall see his seed. My friends, something must happen in our soul. Not just here. And then Brother Branham made a tremendous statement in the sermon, The Anointed Ones at the End Time. He spoke about these great personalities who present power and present themselves prophesying and claiming to do signs and wonders. He emphasized it with, thus says the Lord, and said, you can be baptized in the second realm with the true Holy Spirit and not be saved and born again in your soul. We must be born again, otherwise we don't see the kingdom of God. Amen. And how does the new birth take place? For a natural birth, we need a seed, a uniting in love, and there must be a seed, because the germ of life is in the seed.
Amen.
And the seed is the word of God. You go to Matthew 13, and there our Lord says, the word is the seed. You go to Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the word is the seed. You go to Luke 8, verse 11, the word is the seed. Why did God put the emphasis on the preaching of the true word of God, which is the original seed. A new birth can only take place when the seed of the Word of God is placed into your soul. And when you believe that Word of God promised to us at this time, you confirm that God is a reality and you agree with His plan of salvation. In just a few moments, let me say to you this. In John chapter 1, we read about the Word that was made flesh. How was the Word made flesh? The Word of promise was given to Mary, and she said, I don't know of any man. Do you know of any man? Has any man sown any seed into your soul? Take it out, take it out, take it out. We must be like Mary was, a virgin. Matthew 25, virgins, virgins, not touched by a man, not receiving the teachings of a man, virgins, virgins. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Are you a virgin?
Amen.
I don't want to use the word that has been used in Revelation 17. Let's say prostitute. It's not a nice word. But living untrue to the husband. So many Christians today live untrue to the Savior, being bound in prison houses with all the teachings in the denominations. And now the time has come to preach deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we understand by the Holy Scriptures the Word, the promised Word for this day is the seed. The moment Mary received and believed that promised Word, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the angel Gabriel said, that which is born of you is of the Holy Spirit and will be called the Son of God. In the same way, if you are a true virgin, Mary was a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive. Now, in the calling out with the end time message, you are brought again back to the state to be a virgin before Jesus Christ. Because it came out from all spiritual idolatry, from all the mixing of all the seeds. You have come out. Amen. Where is the scripture for that?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. What is light to do with darkness? Christ was Belial. And then the command is given, ye my people, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. So friends, it's not only the talking about the message of the hour. The message of the hour is God's promised word for this day. And every true child of God will hear the true word of God. Every true child of God will believe every promise God made in His Word.
Amen.
And repeat, I say this, when we receive the Word of God, we say, let it be unto me as you said. And there is a difference between the foolish virgins. They are virgins, but they are foolish. They are still not lining up with the Word of God. They're not yet led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, they that are led by the Holy Spirit, not only anointed,
Amen.
But led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
So, dear friends, be a wise virgin, like Mary was. Receive the word as a seed into your hearts. And there is the germ of life in that word. And the next moment, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be born again. The new life of Christ will be manifested in you, and you will receive a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, as God promised in Jeremiah chapter 31. So, beloved brothers and sisters, should I never see you again on earth? I made a promise to God when I returned from the funeral of Brother Branham. I started this international ministry according to the call the dear Lord had given me, and I made a pledge to the Lord, a vow. I don't want to say the other things, but one thing I said: dear Lord, you called me on April the 2nd to go from city to city to preach your word. Let me preach your word in such a way that every person that would hear your words from my lips would believe your word, and I would see them again in glory.
Amen.
This I said before the Lord in 1966, and I believe it. I believe if you can receive today, not tomorrow. Don't take time to think. The time to think is over. The time to believe has come. The time to believe has come. And the scripture applies even today. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So I say this before God. If you believe the promised word of God for this day, if you believe that William Branham was the promised prophet, and that God used him to bring the message, to bring us back to God, to bring us back to the original teachings, to restore all things back to where they were at the beginning. My dear friends, you should never doubt again. You should never be worried again. If you can believe according to the scripture, it's a sign that you are chosen from before the foundation of the world to be with the Lord in glory.
Amen.
That's why you came out from all denominations, from all the spiritual prison houses. That's why you hear the message of restoration, the message of being called out, the message of preparation.
Amen.
We finish with the two scriptures we mentioned before, Matthew 25, verse 10. They that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. If you wish to have one more scripture, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, and his bride, which then will be his wife, has made herself ready. This is your time, my time, our time, to make ready. And as I said, in different places, just as a bride, in the last few hours, before the wedding, before the marriage takes place, she's no more worried about who will sit where and who will do what. A bride will be worried to be in the right shape to meet the bridegroom, to have the wedding. So what does a bride do? She takes a bath. She looks into the mirror. She prepares. She dresses. Friends, I tell you, it's not enough to just look at the signs of the time and say scriptures being fulfilled with Israel, and the Lord has gathered the Jews from 143 countries into the promised land. It's all wonderful. But the last concern were the wise virgins, were the true bride of Christ. It's not what happens in Europe or what happens according to Daniel chapter 2 or Daniel chapter 7 or Revelation chapter 13 or 17. We see all these things and we're grateful to Almighty God. And I say this again, never, never was the word of God and the plan of salvation made known to mankind as in our time. And God has used Brother Branham, his servant and prophet, to share with us all the mysteries of the plan of salvation and of the kingdom of God. But let me say this again. The last concern is not what God does with the Jews, how the European empire comes up as the fourth world empire, how this or that. No. The last thing is the bride to make herself ready. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, washed by the water of his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Purchased by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Sanctified in the word of God.
Amen.
And brothers, this must be your experience now.
Amen.
Being called out, being separated from all that is not of God, not according to the word of God. Never believe a single interpretation. Just believe every promise of God, which will be fulfilled in the way it is written. And let me say this also, every promise of God is connected to reality. The first coming of the Lord was a reality. His going to heaven was a reality. His return will be a reality. Acts chapter 1, 9 to 11. The same Jesus that was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as we have seen him going up into heaven. So we are prepared for that great moment of the return of Christ. Now, I wish to know from you, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters, and you know I love you. I look back to 50 years. It was in June 58 when Brother Branham gave me the 5 tapes, and I have them with me on a very good picture. And that picture reminds me on South Africa. Here I'm standing with the 5 tapes I was given in Dallas, Texas in 1958, and it was Brother Sidney Jackson who took me to his home on the zebra skin and said, in 1965, Brother Branham was not permitted to preach in big meetings, but he prayed, He prayed standing on this zebra skin. He prayed that God would send the message to Africa. And Brother Sidney Jackson gave me this zebra skin as a gift, as a memory. And then he said, you just take it with you to Germany, being reminded that Brother Branham stood on this zebra skin when he prayed that the message would come to Africa. And now he said, you are here with the message.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I do have many precious memories. And you know, I don't want to refer to this every time because it's not good. But I'm not a storyteller, but I heard the actual voice of the Lord a number of times, 14 times. So all my life, I heard the tremendous, all-penetrating voice of the Lord. The first time on April the 2nd, 1962, as I already referred to, when the Lord, with a voice that you cannot stand, just going through your bones, going through everything, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my words. And then I already told you the rest of it. When Brother Branham was taken to be with the Lord, I knew the time had come to take the message that he brought to the ends of the earth. And it was Brother Frank whom God has used to take this message to the ends of the earth. Today, I'm here. And I'm here with a grateful heart.
Amen.
I'm here with tears in my eyes to see you, my beloved brothers and sisters. And I know I will see you again.
Amen.
We'll spend eternity together.
Amen.
So be a wise virgin.
Amen.
Never receive any interpretation. Don't become spiritually untrue to your husband, to Jesus Christ. Don't do it. Don't do spiritual fornication. Stay with the original Word of God. And you will prove, and God will confirm it, that you are a true virgin, received the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, giving you the divine revelation, and the life of Christ will be manifested in you. I wanted to ask this before. Now I'm going to do it. How many wish to be ready when Christ returns? Let me see. Well, let us stand. Just let us stand. Let us stand. And let us pray together. How many wish to receive the full revelation of the plan of God, of the Word of God, of the mystery? Just be part of what God is doing right now. Amen. Dear Lord, I give you thanks with all my heart for all my brothers and sisters. They are the fruit of the message you brought through William Branham, your servant and prophet. Lord, I pray that they all will be wise virgins and do like Mary did. I don't know of any man. I don't follow this brother. I don't follow that brother. I don't know of any man. I just know Jesus Christ. May they receive your word. And may the Holy Spirit come upon them and create the new life in their soul. Dear Lord, I wish to see them again. May they all be redeemed by the blood, sanctified in the word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, until we meet you, our Lord and Savior. We thank you together for the privilege that we may hear you speak to us directly by your holy word. And dear Lord, I say this in your holy name to all my brothers and to all my sisters. Please don't miss the day of God's visitation. Don't reject the last call God has given. Receive the messenger. Receive the message. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Receive Him in His fullness. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. And the Apostle Paul writes, and we possess the fullness in Him. Dear Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters that you will keep them in your word. Keep them right to the moment of your return. And to you, the Lord of glory, who watches over his word to fulfill whatever you promised. And I thank you for all my brothers, for all my sisters. And I pray that this service will bring forth fruit for all of eternity. Amen. To you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, to you, our Father in heaven, be glory forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, be blessed in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you and be with you. Thank you for coming.
God bless you, God.